talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. And this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide advice on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to the interview instantly, or download one of the shows, you want to go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. If you're already listening to this show live, you just click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1, and you scroll down and you look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and you click on the link. And this takes you directly to the archive page, and you can view the list of our past guests. Our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section. So you just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and it should pull all of our shows up. If you want to find out about our future guest and you want to visit the official Question Reality website, and that has all the guests from January until April. So we are all ready to go, and we're bursting at the seams to book after that. QuestionRealityShow.com is the website, QuestionRealityShow.com. So that will tell you what is going on for a while. Now, we have an incredible guest on the show today. I know when we sent out our promotional email to notify everyone, and we sent out our press kit with notifications that he was coming on the show, we got so many emails. So I did pick out I'd say about five off the top of my head. I'm going to have to look. But we have some great questions. And this guy is incredible. Love his voice. He sounds just like my darling Arnold Schwarzenegger. But I know he's not from Austria. But wait till you hear his voice. Very sexy women. Very sexy ladies and gentlemen, actually. Ladies and gentlemen, if you go for the voice, very sexy. His name is Gare Ness. And he is the CEO, founder of the Layla Perfume Company. And if you want to check out his website, it is Layla or Lila. We're going to have to find out. I might be mispronouncing that. Laila.com. So Layla or Lila.com. And you might want to check that out while I go into my bread and butter advertisement, because I have to talk about some upcoming classes. Actually, I just chose one this week to tell you about. On January the 11th, there is an incredible voiceover workshop with Mary Lynn Wissner. She has a company called Voices Voice Casting, and she casts for commercials, TV, and feature films. And if you want to see a list of her recent clients, go to her website, and her website is voicesvoicecasting.com. That's voicesvoicecasting.com. And you'll notice that she has cast for some really big projects like Shrek. So you know that she's casting at the highest levels. And she has an incredible resume. She's been in the business 24 years, voices and voice talent all over the world. And she's if you're starting in the business, she started actually out as a voiceover agent, and now she's a casting director for the past 24 years. And she's also a producer and a talent instructor, and actually talented herself. Now, this is an incredible price. Why do you hear this? Because I know a lot of people who book for the voiceover classes, they complain that it's a little high. This class, for what you're going to get, is only $49, and you can register online. And the website that you want to go to is actorsiteworkshop.com. That's actorsiteworkshop.com, actorsiteworkshop.com, and look for Mary Lynn Wissner. Again, that class is January 11th. And this class, I'm going to just tell you real briefly, the class is going to provide the actor with just a concise review of what the efficient copy analysis principles are and how they're applied to a voiceover session, audition, whatever you have. So basically, the goals that are going to be approached on the show is when, which is when presented with the copy, because when you go to an audition, you get copy. So when you're presented with that, you can, anytime, anywhere, you know how to make it your own, because sometimes you go into these auditions and you have literally 5 minutes and then you have to go on, and it's not a lot of time to get familiar with your copy. You're also going to learn how to expand your base of self-knowledge as it's applied to the voiceover. So you'll be able to identify and hone your strengths, and you can weed out your weaknesses, because sometimes we don't know what our weaknesses are until somebody tells us what they are, right? And then you're also going to learn what a voiceover signature is and make your own trademark. You know, there are so many voices. You hear them when you go into the theater's film. You hear them on commercials. And right away, you know that that's the same guy that did this commercial or did it for that film. So if you're known by a voice trademark, then you are going to be making the big bucks. You're also going to learn how to get guidance, insight, and inspiration on marketing and self-promotion, because when you are a voiceover actor, you still have to do marketing and self-promotion. It's all who you know. It's kind of like a tighter click than theater even. So she will explain that to you. And you'll also learn about what's expected for an actor on an audition, what supplies you should have, the behavior, etiquette, etc. And then you will learn what to do once you get in the voiceover room, which is very important to know before you go on an audition. You can't just – it's a little bit harder to become a voiceover actor, I'm going to be honest with you. But and I highly recommend that you do take these workshops and take classes rather than just going to an audition and trying to do a voice. Just because you do great voices and your family and friends tell you, oh, you should be in the business, you do not want to go on a dry audition without knowing these things, because you will be embarrassing yourself. So don't do it. Okay. I forgot to say Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year. It is January the 8th, 2012. Very first show of the new year. Very excited. Oh, goals and objectives, resolutions are just swarming over here. Very excited. Every year, my husband and I, we get our old New Year's. We call them goals and objectives because they're actually very different than resolutions. And without going into a long, drawn-out explanation of that, we like to call them goals and objectives. So we take out our goals and objectives from the year before, and we compare it, and then we carry over. So if we didn't make our goal or objective, we carry it over. And we feel very happy that there were only a couple that we had to carry over. So I hope that that is the same for you this year. But what we are going to have a lot of this year is a lot of people on our show that are behind the scenes people. That's one of the goals that I wanted to achieve this year. So that is something to look forward to if you wanted to get a behind the scenes job, script supervisor, post production, AD, second AD, grip, et cetera, et cetera. So look for that in the future. Okay, without further ado, let's find out about our guest, the wonderful, sexy Geir Ness. He is the CEO and founder, again, of Layla and Norway's first fragrance designer. And he has made his mark on the world, both as an entrepreneur, a humanitarian, and also a motivational speaker. And today, the Layla perfume company is featured in gift baskets for events such as the Tony Awards, the Grammys, MTV Awards, Miss Universe, Miss Sport Football, and the Eurovision Song Contest. And currently, he's speaking at schools and seminars throughout the U.S. and Europe. And he has a goal. His goal has always been to help others stay focused and on the road to success. And his personal success story has earned the attention of Hollywood. My God, he's made it all the way to Hollywood. And he is currently in discussions to have his story turned into a screenplay and feature film. And I hope he gives me a part, if not at least a bottle of damn perfume. So I'm going to try to get a part out of him today in the movie or a bottle of perfume. So we'll see what I get by the end of the show. I'm going to have to do a really good job. So without further ado, let's talk to him now. Are you there, Mr. Gairness?
I am here, and thank you for that introduction. I love it. That was really nice. Thank you.
You are welcome. Well, you know, I got to talk to you briefly before we went live, and I love your laugh. I love your accent. Very sexy. And I did
get a
copy of your picture from Beatrice Davis, and you are one hot, sexy little something.
Ooh.
I know. My God, you did. One thing you didn't list on here was model, because you certainly could be a model with that hot little body you got going on.
You
model your own cologne with your clothes. I mean, you're the whole package, my God. And and you know, the thing that we're focusing on is my inspirational stories, and you going right now, I believe that you told me that you are down in, where are you?
I'm in my favorite place on the planet, Disney World in Orlando. I'm here actually at Epcot this week with Disney with my fragrance. I'm here signing bottles, meeting all these wonderful people from all over the world, and I had to say blast. It's a wonderful time to be down here.
Wow, that, I mean, you said you were signing bubbles? What did you say?
Bottles. You know, my perfume bottles, people want me to sign them in the prime of perfume.
Oh,
yeah, there might be bubbles in it too.
Oh, it's just that wonderful.
There were champagne bubbles, you know, for New Year's Eve. But yeah, Disney invited me to come down here at Epcot, because you know at Epcot they have different pavilions, and one of them is Norway. So I have been here this week, and I had such a wonderful time with all the guests, and they come in here, and I actually met a couple. I had to tell you this before I tell this my story, but they come to me, a couple, and the guy goes, you know, I met my wife because of you. I said, what do you mean? He said, I went into this bank, and somebody smelled so wonderful behind me. I turned around, I talked to this beautiful woman, we exchanged phone number, and they were starting to go out. They got engaged, got married, and they got a little girl that I named after my perfume, little Lila.
Lila!
So I get all these incredible stories, you know, here in Disney World, and it's just been unbelievable. I just love being here with Mickey Mouse and the rest of the family.
Well, I love that story. My God, if a bottle of perfume is going to get you a husband, ladies, you need to get out right away and go buy a bottle of this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that perfume is good enough to turn the head of a man. And, you know, there's a lot of perfumes out there, and men smell all types of perfume, but not a lot of them turn a man's head. That's like something right out of the 30s and 40s. So, yay for you.
Now, yeah, so you know, be careful what you're asking for.
Wow, it might be super potent. You might want to have it, you might want to create something on the Viagra line, too.
Right, exactly. It's better than Viagra, you know, just spray on some perfume with Lila and you're all set.
There you go. I think that sounds good. You're going to have to cut me in a commission for that idea if it works out. Now, let me ask you a question. What did you want to be when you grew up? Did you always know what you wanted to do? When you were little, what did you want to be?
No, actually, what I always wanted to do was, you know, I was born and raised in Norway, and we have very, very cold winters. And I always remember when I was very little seeing pictures of a beach with palm trees. And when I grew up, you know, I realized that you actually could be working there, you know, when I got a little older. And I always wanted to be a tour guide. That was always in my mind. And when I grew older and older, I said, I have to go to Spain. And Spain was for me so far away, you know. And I actually, it was funny because when I grew up, we have a very little apartment. We grew up with three brothers in one bedroom. And my mom and dad were sleeping in the living room. That was actually their bedroom. And So we have very, very tiny little space. And I always wanted, you know, to get my own place and to be out there. I was, you know, I love being out with my mom. She always took me up in the mountains in Norway, like every spring and summer we were outdoors because we had such a little space, so we had to be out. So I basically grew up more outside than inside the apartment. And I just remember talking to my mom, you know, and I said, Mom, you know, I wonder how it is in Spain, you know, with, you know, the palm trees and all that. I said, one day you will get there, you know, and we were up there. And so, I can move forward to when I was around, I was around 20 years old, and I was seeing this ad in the paper. They were looking for a tour guide in Spain. And I said, hey, my God, this will be great. You know, I'm in a tour guide, I think, in Spain. And they said, you have to speak fluent Spanish, and you have to know the island of Mallorca, because they need people there right away. And I couldn't speak, of course, the language. I'd never been to Spain or Mallorca or anything before. But I said, this is the job I really want. And I remember, you know, taking the little train down to downtown Oslo and standing in line to go in to my application, filling it out, and going to this meeting. So I met with this woman, and she asked me all these questions, you know, and she said, okay, yes, blah, blah, blah. And she said, well, do you speak Spanish? I said, oh, sure, you know, I didn't basically grow up with that. And she said, well, have you been to the island of Mallorca? I said, yes, my favorite island. I just wanted this job so bad. And then she put me into this other room, and I got to meet this Spanish teacher that will actually talk to me in Spanish to really find out how well I can speak the language. So I was sitting there waiting, and she never, you know, arrived. And the girl, woman that had actually interviewed me, she came in, and she said, Gere, I'm so sorry, but our Spanish, you know, teacher, whatever, she couldn't come. She's stuck in traffic or something. So I just want to fill in, you know, that you can speak it fluently. You know, it's fine. So you can go. So I left. And it was like hundreds of people in line. So then 2 days later, I got this call saying that I got the job and I had to leave the next day for Spain, for Mallorca, to get this job, you know, doing it. And I was just like freaking out, you know. And I talked to my mom and dad, and they was like laughing. And then my mom and my dad took me to the airport in Oslo. And my mom, the last thing she said to me, Gere, just go ahead, you can do it. They were laughing, you know. And I ended up coming to Mallorca at night. It was so dark, I couldn't see anything. And two people were picking me up at the airport that worked there. And they gave me this shirt to wear, you know, this blue shirt and a tie, and gave me a little map of the island thing and said, okay, tomorrow morning, you're going to be downstairs in the reception area in the information booth talking to new guests that have been coming and telling them what to do, whatever, you know, since you've been there before. I said, sure, no problem. So the next morning, I go down, staying there in the information area, you know, with my new shirt on, the tie, and, you know, and a couple from Sweden was coming over to me, mom and dad, and two kids. And the dad said to me, we are so excited, you know, we've never been there before, and we want to go to a place on this island that is not full of tourists. Where should we go? So I said, well, here we have a lot of options, and I'm looking down to this map that was given to me the night before, and I see some greenery, you know, green area at the map, and I know that green means, you know, trees and what have you, right? So I was telling him, well, this is one of my favorite areas, and I was looking at the map, and I saw this road going very swingly here and there, to the right, to the left. I said, drive very carefully, because it's a really narrow, you know, area when you're driving there, and the road is very small, so be sure you take your time. And then when I was talking to them, I was reading on the left side of this map, and it says, when you go to this area, there's a restaurant that we call, I think there was Casa Mama or Casa something. And I said, you go there, you go to this restaurant called Casa, you know, see Casa Mama, and ask for this woman and ask for this fabulous paella. It's my favorite dish on the island. And I was reading that, and I saw that something, you know, and it took notes and did the whole thing, right? And then they wanted to rent a car. And this was all, this is like over 20 years ago, right? So I was like, oh, my God, a car in Spanish, and nobody was speaking English. So I had to call this number that was sitting there and talk, like, in Spanish. So I saw the car, it was coche, and today it was, like, ahora. There was a couple of words that were saying what it meant. So I dialed this number, and I talked to this person that say everything in name, was talking in name in Spanish. I have no clue what he was saying. And I would say, hola, and my name, and I would say, coche ahora. And I kept talking in like a fake Spanish while I hang up the phone on my left hand that they couldn't see, you know, the family. And I said, oh, sí, claro, madre mía, madre mía, okay, adiós, adiós, bye. And he said, oh, my God, you speak so well Spanish. I said, well, in this island, you need to know everything, you know. And the car came, and they left.
Oh, my God!
I have to tell this story at the end of the story. It's really funny. So the car came, and they left. And then I kept, you know, I'm pretty street smart because I used to work, you know, I was 12 years old when I started to work with newspaper in the morning before I went to school. So I always was used to take care of myself and manage to do everything by myself, basically, because my mom taught me how to, you know, you want to do something, you do it, and you do it yourself. You know, you won't get any help from me because I didn't have anything. She just gave me the love that I had. That was all they basically gave me, which I am so thankful for today. So anyway, so I kept working there for a few months, and I got a call from my boss in Palma, which is the capital on the island of Mallorca, that the secretary called me and said, you need to come in right away. We to have a meeting with you, you know. And I said, oh my God, no, you're fired, you know, but I had a good time, so this is fine, right? So I go into the Mallorca, to the capital. I walk into this office, and the secretary gave me a letter. I said, read this first, and then you can go in to, you know, to see the boss. So I opened the letter, I started to read it, and it says, dear, you know, so-and-so, we went to the island of Mallorca for the first time, me, my wife, and the kids, and we met this guy from Norway here, and we have never met anyone. And I was like, oh my God, what's coming now? It's so knowledgeable about this island and where to go, and with this restaurant he recommended. We went there three times afterwards. We had the best time. We just wanted to thank you so much, you know, for having people like him, you know, in your company, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh my God. And then my boss, I could walk in, and he threw me some keys, and he said, here, thank you. This was great. You know, tomorrow you're going to take over, you know, this city on the south side of the island. So I had like 25, 30 people under me. I got my own little apartment with a car and everything, you know. And I was like, I thought I was going to get fired.
Crazy.
I got promoted to all this. And all this was just because I believed in myself, and I really believed that I could do this job, even that I couldn't, you know, I shouldn't even have nerves to even go down there or call for this job. And you become
awesome.
Something you really want to do. And it shows you that you can do it. You know, we all can do it if you believe in it. But you have to believe in yourself, and that's the most important thing. So that's actually how I started, you know, to get this job that I dreamt about with the tour guide, and I actually got the job. You know?
That's also called fake it till you make it.
I know that was a long answer, but that's...
Oh, my God, that is an incredible story. That alone could be a movie. That sort of reminds me of the movie.
That's going to be in it, probably, yes.
That's an incredible, incredible story. My God, I bet you have a million of them. Absolutely. Now,
I have a lot of them, but I think also for your listener, though, you know, that it's important that, I mean, so many people that I have met, you know, wanted to do this and this and that, but they don't really believe in that they can do it when they talk. They say, well, I don't know, maybe, you know, but as soon as you really find out that this is what you want to do, and then you have to believe in it 110%, you can actually do it. But you have to believe it in, because if you don't believe in it, who's going to believe in it, you know? I mean, that's so important, to believe in yourself and like yourself, like what you have, and not go around and say, oh, I don't know, I don't need this and that. You don't have to, like, you turn that thing away and focus and believe in that you can do it, and you will be able to do it.
What do you feel are the three, name three, if not five, but I'll just say three, characteristic traits does it take to become successful in any career you choose?
Well, as I said, number one is believing in yourself. You have to, and you have to stay focused. And staying focused, what I mean about that is not, you know, get sidetracked with negativity and people around you that's like, oh, you can't do it. It's like, just focus on what you want to do. Have a goal. Let's see that, you know, in 6 months you want to be there, and a year, whatever. And if that doesn't happen, it's okay. But you have to have goal. So you have to, you know, believe in yourself, number one. You have to have a goal. You have to focus. And you have to be honest to yourself, you know, what you want to do and what you will accomplish doing it. And also surround yourself with good people, with good energy. Like if you have friends around you that always put you down, it's always negative, and every time they call, they have a headache, they have something going on, you know, always. Try to get rid of those people or, you know, sideline them a little bit and focus and have good energy with you, because that is so important to be successful. Because if you constantly have all this negativity around you, all the bad thing, and if you do something great, you know, people are jealous at you and they want to put you down. So try, and you know who the people are, so get rid of it, you know, it's fine. I mean, they will, you know, if they come back later in life or whatever, it's fine. But I'm just saying, it's so important to focus, to believe in yourself, and to have good people, good energy around you. And if that means that you have to get rid of some people, it's okay. You know, I mean, it's just because this life today, we have a short life to be here right now, and we have to do the best we can out of it. And it's a waste of time to really be around negativity and people that doesn't want the best for you, that's jealous, and we always have the people around you. Just focus. To be good to yourself, you know, and like yourself. There's nothing wrong about liking yourself, you know, and I'm not saying about staying in the mirror and say, oh my God, I'm, you know, fantastic best, but you know, you gotta like what you have, you know, and that's you. You only have you. You are your best friend. And I think also what you should do, look at yourself as your best friend. And what will you do with you to your best friend? You will be nice to your best friend. You will treat your friend nicely. Do that same thing to yourself. And I think those are the guidelines you should take, you know, in life, and not beat yourself up every time something little bad happened to yourself, or, you know, if you gain a couple of pounds here and there and you feel like, you know, just don't be so hard on yourself. Just like yourself and stay positive and doing it. I'm not saying those words. I mean it. You have to live those words to be successful.
Absolutely. Now, what is your advice to people? I was just talking to a couple friends at dinner the other night, and they were approached by someone. And actually, I get asked this question a lot. They were approached by someone. They have some money, and they were approached by someone to finance a film project with promises, uh-huh. promises. And these particular friends invested in this small film that this person proposed to them. And none of the promises were kept. And when the money was used up, they kind of didn't want to have anything to do with the person anymore. The reason I'm asking your advice on that is there's a lot of people out here that are opportunists and gold diggers. And there are people who want to get, you know, how do you handle that with staying professional? When you know someone is using you, but you're too far in to get out, what do you do in a situation like that?
Well, I just think that, you know, before you get yourself into that situation, you have to be, you know, I know, because I know how it is. You have friends and you want to help out and all that. I always say that you give the money that you can afford to lose, you know, because don't put all the money and all your savings into something that it could go both ways. And we know in the movie industry, it's a very, very hard business to be in. And very, very few people as even a member of the Screen Actors Guild, which is, you know, we probably most people that watching or listening to your show know that that's the guild or the actors have to be
uh-huh.
member of, really. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the Screen Actors Guild, and you have also the AFTRA. But the thing is that actors that is member of the Screen Actors Guild, like a percentage, not even that, really make money out of being an actor, you know. Mm-hmm. And the same thing going with people that are producer, directors, and what have you. And I have a lot of friends of mine that have Oscars and all that, but I also have much more friends that doesn't, you know, that actually probably is as good as my other friends, but they, you know, it's hard. You have to promote yourself and doing it, and people say, oh, you can do this, you can do that. I know people, you know, and they're trying to tell them, other people they know they can help you, and people that are starting to make movies, you know, in a small scale, oh, you know what, if you put some money in there, I can help you, and they get all this stuff, and maybe sometimes we have a little money, you know, saved up, and they say, oh my God, this person really know that person. person, they get excited, you know, and they
right.
spend the money because they tell them, oh, God, you know, I know, you know, this actor and this producer and this director, you know, and maybe they know them somehow or they met them, they have a picture with them, and you feel, oh, my
right.
God, you know, and you get so trapped into that. And there are people in Hollywood that just get to steal the money, and many of them.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So there's a lot of con artists, you know, out there that tell you things. And so you have to be careful. You have to screen them. You know, if I were your friends or people that wanted to invest in something, first of all, you have to do your work on the computer, you know. I mean, now
right.
we have the Google. You can Google people. You can find out about them. You know what I mean? It's like you can do your groundwork and then see. But I just think you'd be very careful about putting your money into a movie project that is not even big stars, you know, doing a project that is not happening. You know what I mean? So
exactly.
if it can happen to big stars, you can imagine what can happen to all of
exactly.
us. That is, you know, nothing. So, you know what I mean? So you have to be so careful. I don't know the advice I can give for your friends, but I will definitely, hopefully they haven't, you know, used up all their money that
no.
they had to dip in the tree.
No, they were just, they were just disappointed that their first experience participating and being investors turned out to be so negative. And I feel bad. I told them what it was like with people you barely know. But this person,
right.
there are a lot of con artists out here, and they can run a good game. And they know how to talk. And people who are not in the entertainment business who want to have their name as a credit on a
right.
film, they get all excited and they just say, oh yeah, here, take the money. And it's just hard to give advice to people who get excited at
no absolutely comment. And I have friends of mine that absolutely, and also all the friends that I have that have been doing Broadway shows and all that, and they have actually other big producers that they will try to screw those people. I mean, it's like you have to be so careful in Hollywood, you know, and it's a very hard place to be at, you know, and to live in. As you know, I mean, being
Absolutely.
In L.A. and living there and meeting people, everybody want to be a star, everybody want to be somebody. And
yes.
I think it's much harder to live in Los Angeles than live in New York, and people think the opposite, but it's not.
No, you are absolutely right. I'm from the East Coast, and people on the
yeah.
East Coast have a tendency to tell it like it is, and whether you like it or not, but people out here, they will smile in your face, and I tell you, not all.
Yeah.
It's a general statement.
No,
not all.
I have one of my very best friends lives in Los Angeles. Right.
A lot of them are fake, and I just can't tolerate it. I don't know how you can look somebody in the face and blatantly lie to someone, because I wasn't raised like that. But I find that I relate better to people on the East Coast, because they really, you know, and not to say that the East Coast doesn't have any con artists. I mean, there are some shysters over there for sure. But
you can find them in the Midwest. You can find them in Norway. You can find them anywhere. You know, you just have to be smart. You just have to be smart about who you involve
yeah.
yourself. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, there, and I just find that it's a little bit, it's done a little sleazier here, and I think they're a little better at it in California, the con men. I think they're the capital con
yeah.
men here. But I really appreciate that advice. Now, let's talk about it's Lila, isn't it? That's your mom, right? Your mom is Lila.
Well, yeah,
right?
What I want to do, you know, when I created the fragrance, I wanted, you know, I wanted, first of all, the fragrance itself, I wanted something to remind me about my childhood. So, you know, when I was little, I was telling you, I went always out with my mom in the mountains, in the, you know, in the woods. So I wanted, you know, the herbs, the wildflowers, all the fresh cleanness that it's in the nature of Norway inside the bottle. And that all reminded me about my mom, because she was the one who took me out there. So what I did, I copied my mom's signature without her knowing it, and I still screened her name on the bottle, and I gave it to her as a surprise for Mother's Day. So her name is Lila. It spells L-A-I-L-A. In Norway, we pronounce it Lila. Here we say Layla, but it's actually Lila.
Lila, right. We're used to that song by that singer, Hey Layla, so it's spelled the same. Now, let me ask you, today the Lila Perfume Company provides gift baskets for the Tonys, the Grammys, MTV. What was the path that you carved that took your company to such an elite status that you're now the most requested gift bask provider for these red carpet events? What did you do to get to supply these events?
Well, the thing is, I was doing in the beginning, you know, I didn't have any money when I started at all. I was actually, it's funny because it all started, you know, when I was in Los Angeles, I sampled my fragrance out, you know, to a lot of people in the partner stores, and I did a job as a fragrance model in the weekend when I went to school, because my background is also, you know, entertainment. You know, I did, in Spain was a tour guide, I also did some for all the tourists as a entertainer, like the cabaret show, you know, singing, dancing,
right, and
the whole thing.
I knew that you couldn't look that good without being in entertainment. I knew it was going to come out.
You know, so I did a little bit of everything, right? So I ended up in L.A. just go to school for a couple of years and then going back home to Europe. So while I went to school, it was very expensive. So I needed some extra little money. So in the weekend, I had a friend of mine that told me that, oh, you can get a job as a fragrance model. I said, what's a fragrance model? He said, well, you go into the stores and you spray people and they pay you money for it.
I know those.
And I said, okay, well, I don't know nothing about fragrances. And he said, you know, just go in and do it. He said, and so I got a job for a company in the weekend in the department store. So I walk in there, and the first thing I do is I spray people, right? I run after them because I was told to spray. Everybody came in. 3 minutes later, this manager came to me and said, I'm sorry, but this is not for you. So I got fired after 3 minutes. So I said, okay. And then so I got a job in another department store, and now I started to learn more how to do it. Everyone spray everybody. I have to talk to them. So I tried to talk to people, and they all asked me where I was from. And I said, Norway. And they said to me, well, don't you have a own fragrance in Norway? Like, you know, why don't you sell us a fragrance from Norway? And then I find out we never had our own fragrance. I said, wow, this is unbelievable. Well, maybe I should try to do some research and do this myself. And that's how I come up with the idea of doing it. But I didn't have any money or anything. But I met a perfumer from France while I was working for this other company in the weekends. And he said to me, you know, I asked him, what do you do to create a fragrance? He said, find the ingredients that you like. And the first thing that came to my mind were, you know, the Norwegian wildflowers, the herbs, and so forth. So when I was back in Norway on vacation, I took with me herbs and lavender and all that stuff, and we worked together probably for almost over 4 years to create the fragrance while I was still was working for the other companies, and I did a lot of small jobs in between. And then every time we come up with a blend of the fragrance, I walked on the street and asked people what they thought about the scent without telling them that I was behind it. And that way you get the honest truth, what people really think. And after we put the lavender extract into it, we use natural oil base instead of synthetics. In that way, you know, people are allergic sensitive, they can still be able to wear the fragrance.
Right.
After we did all that, people go, I think I got almost 100% people like, oh my God, it's so great. Oh, what is this? So I said to myself, this is the fragrance I'm going to go with. And then what I did, you know, I got a friend of mine, he lent me some money. I maxed up my credit card and I produced 1,000 bottles that all I can afford. And, then I copied my mom's signature, you know, and I still threw the name on the bottle. And then I had my mom's name on it. And I was sitting in my apartment with 1,000 bottles of perfume without pay my bills. So I started to sell my own clothes in garage sale to make rent. And while I was doing that, I met with Nordstrom's, the buyer in California, and she was so wonderful, this woman, and she loved my perfume, but she said to me, I got to be very honest with you, Geir, you have no name and no advertisement money, and this is actually harder than show business. There is thousands of fragrances coming out every year, and you will be lost in a second, so I can't do anything with it. And I said to her, what about if you take my perfume into one store and see how much I sell? I said, well, we don't really do that here, you know. And she was so sweet to me and said, okay, you know what I can do, Geir? Finally, I never gave up, right? So she said, I'm going to take 100 bottles into one store and see how much you will sell in 3 months. And if you don't sell anything, you have to take them all back. I said, that's fine. And so this was the day before Mother's Day. And I knew I only had one shot. So I go to a garage sale myself, and I buy a suit for $5. And at the garage sale, there was a red carpet laying there, you know, in the corner. And I asked the guy, can I get this, you know, red carpet? I said, sure, just take it, you know. So I got the red carpet with it. And I all planned in my head. I called up a friend of mine in class, and I said to him, John, can you come down and take a picture of me and pretend that I'm a big star from Europe, you know, in the store? And he said, Gil, I would love to do that, but I have no film in my camera. I said, nobody knows. Just come down and flash and, you know, and do it. I said, okay.
Right.
So he will come down to the store, and I got a couple of my friends in class. I said, can you guys all come down and make a big deal that you have seen me in Europe, I'm there, and, you know. So at stage is the whole thing, right? So this was in Nordstrom in Beverly Hills, down on Pico Boulevard in West Los Angeles. So I got, you know, my suit on, the red carpet, the photographer, and the whole thing. And then the store opened the day before Mother's Day, so it's pretty busy. Everybody want to buy, you know, a Mother's Day gift. So after, like, you know, a half an hour, as people started to come towards me and to see this guy, the blonde guy staying there with photographer flashing and what's going on, all of a sudden I have a huge line of people, and people started to buy my fragrance, and I never forget it. I always tell this story. This one woman come up to me with so much diamonds on her fingers, she can barely lift her arms up, and she's looking at my eyes, looking at my suit, and she said to me, darling, I love that suit. That must be from Europe, you know. And I bought it like five blocks away, and I was looking at her just smiling, and she bought my fragrance for all her friends, and all of a sudden in an hour I sold out every single bottle, and I even got people on a waiting list, you know, to buy my fragrance. And I remember walking out of Nordstrom, and this guy there, this homeless person was there with this box full of dollar bills and quarters and what have you, and he said to me, excuse me, sir, do you have some change? And I'm looking at him, and I see all these dollar bills, and I said, you know what, I wish I had so much, all this money you have. I have nothing. And he's looking at me like, yeah, you're so full of it, you know, because I'm out of Nordstrom with a suit and the whole thing. And it was funny because I parked my car like six blocks away because I bought like a $500 car, and I didn't want anybody to see my car because it was just a beat-up little Renault. So I go down, and I take off my suit, and I put on a T-shirt and a pair of jeans, and I drive to this place. I was a seat filler at that time, and a seat filler is somebody that works in a show that you clap, you know, you applaud, you know, and do all that to fill up every seat. And they paid me like $25 a day to do that. And I remember that time, I think I worked for Star Jones. She had her own talk show, you know, way before The View and all that.
Right.
So I was in there and working, you know, on that show and applauding. And then from being a big designer from Europe to doing that, I did every single small job you can think about just to, you know, to make it. And it was funny how everything started, you know, and they all started like that. And then I moved on. And then
I'm excited. So when you sold out those bottles, did you call the lady back at Nordstrom and say, well, I sold out, or did she contact you?
Well, they actually called me on Monday because they'd seen the report and they couldn't believe that something is wrong. There's no bubble. You were number one selling fragrance. They say, well, I did sell them out, and that's how it started. And then I got invited to more stores, and I opened more. And then the producer's girlfriend of the Grammys got a sample of my perfume, and they liked it so much, and I didn't even know who he was. And then one thing led to another. I was invited, you know, to do a special basket for all the stars. I was going to be performing at the Grammys, and I made a special collective about for all the nominees, and I got in there, and I got invited to the Grammy Awards, and then I got friends, you know, that perform, and then I got into other award shows, and one thing led to another, and they all say the same thing about my fragrance. Oh my God, it's so fresh and clean. And I got, you know, and people like it. One thing is to get in there, but you have to like the scent you have. And what is wonderful for me to see is people say, oh my God, it smells like Norway. And I told them it's Norway in a bottle, you know, and it's been wonderful for me to do that, but not just, you know, to do all the award show and have friends now in Hollywood that stars and all that. But for me, more than anything, is to create something and make it happen. And working very hard, I traveled 330 days last year and meeting people like I do now in Disney World. Just for me to hear stories from people, they all have a story to tell me about my fragrance, make me so happy and see that you can make a difference with a fragrance. You know, people say, oh, you don't save life with a fragrance, but you can make a huge difference for people with a scent, because that's the strongest, you know, organs we have is the fragrance, it's the scent.
Well, it's not only the scent.
Wonderful.
Oh, yeah. It's your story, too, of how you got there. You are a story of inspiration. That story you just told, I while you were telling it, I was seeing a whole movie being made about it, which leads me to the next thing I want to talk about. Your personal success story has earned you the attention of Hollywood. And I understand from Beatrice, who, by the way, I love. She is one of the most efficient, professional women ever.
Oh, she is fantastic.
I want to steal her from you. She's so incredible at promoting you. She was on top of everyone.
Oh,
in the
yeah. She is just so
love
wonderful.
Her.
You have no idea. She is incredible. She's
I know.
Wonderful. And yeah.
I'm going to have her come on my show. Now, she told me that you were, at the time when she initially contacted me, she said that you were in discussions to have your story turned into a screenplay and film. What's the status on that? Fingers crossed.
Well, I have, you know, I have a lot of stories, you know, in between what I've told you now. And I have talked to a couple of studios or producers that I know in Hollywood, and they are been very interested in making a screenplay and a movie or maybe a sitcom out of this. And so I've been talking to them for a while now, and I'm working currently with two different producers, directors that are interested, and one is helping me doing the screenplay, and we've been changing a lot of things away, but so I don't know exactly if it's going to be a movie or a sitcom, but it's something that's going to be very different than anything else. You know, it would be a really fun thing, and I lived it, you know what I mean, and I have seen it, so it's going to be my story, you know, I do, and I don't know if I'm going to be in it or if I'm going to be my story or what I'm going to do with it.
You have got to put your little foot and toe down and say, I have to be in it, at least a cameo appearance,
yeah.
For God's sakes. I mean, Hitchcock put himself in it.
You know what? Yeah, regardless of what's going to happen, if I'm going to be in it or not, but I just love the story, to tell the story and fun and actually be there and helping other people that have a dream and see they can do it. And it's a true story. It's not... You know what I mean? And then I can inspire people. That's what I'm trying to do.
Rags
when I've been speaking with the schools and students and young kids. Yeah.
Your rags to riches stories, I mean, they always win Oscars, so I'm looking forward. And you, there's no one more deserving than you. I mean, based on what I've heard from you. My God, who wouldn't want to hear that story? We need more inspirational stories. And I really was so impressed with the fact that you still find time to speak at schools and seminars throughout the USA and Europe, as you're doing now. And that really is something to give back, because you have obviously gained so much from being a top fragrance designer. And for you to take time to do that is absolutely incredible. So,
now for me, you know, that means everything. And I just want to tell you one thing that I did also with Beatrice before Christmas. We find a lot of like small stuffed animals and toys, you know, to give to the organization that I will pick. And Beatrice and I would try to find organizations that is good, you know, and I have an apartment in New York City, and I said to myself, I want to do something in New York, since, you know, that's a place that I have a place there, and I know so many people need something for Christmas. And we wrote to a school, I mean, everywhere, and Beatrice was helping me. And then we didn't find anything, and then a friend of mine was talking to this place called Harlem Dowling. It's I wanted to go on the website later when you have time to listen, because it's a fantastic organization.
Absolutely.
It's spelled, it's Harlem, it's in Harlem, and it's D-O-W-L-I-N-D, Dowling, D-O-W-L-I-N-G.org. And this organization, they're dealing with kids that doesn't have parents, you know, foster children, and they assist children and their families in crisis and distress, you know, and they include like foster care, they do adoptions, they do all that. And I went in there and I met these incredible people working there and did all this job and said, you know what, this is an amazing. So now also I would donate some money for them and do it, but they do so much. And just to be able for me just to give me even more, they give me more back than they know they do, because just to meet the people and see all the what they do for other people, it's like amazing. We all need to give something back, you know.
Absolutely.
And that's what I love to do more than anything else, to be honest with you. I love Hollywood, I love all that, but this is really what I love doing.
Well, you know, I am so happy, Gare, that you said that, because I tell you, I have to tell you this. About 5 years ago, I woke up one morning after seeing a movie. I don't remember what it was. It was a Christmas movie. I cannot remember now. But I woke up, and the first thing that popped into my mind was that I wanted to help children who families were poor. Maybe their father or mother was unemployed, or whatever parent didn't have money. So I came up. It was just like a dream, and I thought of the name, SantaClausWishes.com. And so I immediately bought the website domain name with all intents and purposes of starting this little organization. So I start doing the research, because I'm a big researcher too, to find out how to do things. And it was so overwhelming, to be honest. You know, you got to file this, C for nonprofit corporation, blah, blah, blah. And it was so discouraging that I said, oh, well, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to just do it on my own. So I put up my website and I called a couple people and told them to spread the word. And for the last 5 years, what I've been doing is I accept letters from people. They send me emails when they're having a hard time. And I spend my own money and I go out and I buy gifts, and I can't do it for a bunch of people, but I choose 20 families and I actually spend my own money, buy the gifts, and I send it to them.
That's fantastic.
So I'm going to be calling you to get some gifts, by the way. So I
Exactly. But those are the things that people need to hear and do, because I think, and so many people out there that actually have the opportunity to help people, they need to do it. I think there's an obligation we all have to help other people, and especially, you know, for people that are sick, you know, for elderly kids, for all kinds, you know.
Absolutely.
And also, you know, I think it's important to do that, to be like
Absolutely.
A role model for other people and try to do it yourself, and not just talking about it, but actually doing
it. And it's very, and what I wanted to do, and maybe I need to talk to have a conversation with you or Beatrice, because I do want to actually make this a nonprofit or business, but I haven't gone that far because it's so time consuming and it's just overwhelming. So I'm just doing it on a personal level, and I don't, you know, write it off or anything. I just pay for it and that's it. But I wanted to also include in my SantaClausWishes.com website, I want to have a program for people in homes, like retirement homes, who don't have families, to bring gifts to them as well. So I want to kind of incorporate that. We can't forget all of the people that are seniors who don't have anyone, and they're living in these assisted living programs. They don't have some of them don't have family members to visit them. They don't have anybody.
Oh, I know. Absolutely.
And nobody remembers
them. No, there's so many.
Them.
Yeah. There is so many people that need help, you know, exactly. We can go on and on, but it's like we just have to give, and we have to start somewhere and get everybody involved, and then that's how we have to do it, you know. I mean, it's a wonderful thing, whatever we can do, and it's not even money. It's just be there, as you said, visiting families or visiting older people, just to be there talking to them. It's wonderful to do. Don't have to, if you don't have money, you can do it other ways. We can do
Absolutely.
That, we can be there, we can talk to people, we can listen to people, whatever it takes.
Read them a story, whatever it takes. Exactly. Well, you know
exactly.
You know, go there and sing. If you're a musician or a singer, go there and sing for Christmas. Volunteer your services.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know what, Gare? I have to tell you that our time, my darling, has come to an end, and I'm so unhappy, because remember I told you I had those emails that people wrote in, and we did not get to them. So I'm going to ask you, with my fingers crossed and a hope in my heart, will you come back on my show in a couple months so that I could ask these questions of you?
Oh, yes. I would love to. That would be fabulous.
Maybe
of
in
course.
May?
Then we
in May? Maybe in May you would be available. I'm going to send Beatrice the request, but would you
come talk
back?
To Beatrice, because I don't even know my schedule. I'm
I know
traveling,
you don't,
so
but you will come back, and so I can get these answers.
I will come back and talk to Beatrice. Yeah, and thank you so much for having me on your show. I loved it. That was fantastic.
You are welcome, and I just want to say really quick, Emily of Shreveport, Louisiana, Lily of Denver, Colorado, and Sarah of Tag Flats, Oklahoma, you have the commitment on the radio. Gare will come back. I have your questions. They will be answered when he comes back on the show. So hold tight. We're going to have him back very, very soon. Gare, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on the show. I wish you all the success. And guess where I'm going after we get off of the phone? I'm going to the Lila website and order my bottle of perfume.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so
much. I thought you were going to say I'm going to Disneyland.
Oh, well, I have Disneyland here. I have to.
I know you, dude. That's what I'm saying. You know, I love it.
God, well, thank you, sweetheart, and God bless you. You are what the world needs to be. You are hope and inspiration, and you are just a little guardian angel to so many people. And thank you for sharing and being on my show and giving me the great honor of talking to you. I really appreciate it so much.
Thank you so much yourself. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Happy New Year. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.